Praise you, Lord. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Father, with praise and adoration, we come before you this morning. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. And this morning, Lord, we look to you, who is the author and finisher of our faith, the one who's declared that your thoughts for us are good and not for evil. Your thoughts are to prosper and not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We give you praise this morning for that very thought and idea. We give you glory and honor. Now, Lord, I surrender to you, Lord. Use me as you see fit. Holy Spirit, you're in control. We've already declared that. We've asked for our Father's will to be done in this house and in each of our houses, Lord. For that, we thank you and praise you. You're going to do things today, Lord. You're going to restore. You're going to heal. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We want to welcome our guests. We're glad you're here. We really would, amen, yes. We really would like to get to know you. We have a small time of fellowship after the service, and we'd love to have you stay. So, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. There is no God like Jehovah. Amen. It's all been outlined right here in the book. No addendums, no additions, no deletions. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. David here is crying out. You know, we all know why David was a man after God's own heart. It's because that even as he did things that weren't correct, like we all do, make mistakes, go places, say and do things we shouldn't, he cried out. It was the cry of his heart. And remember, God looks at the heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That's something that I believe David probably didn't just pray one time. I think that was a constant in his life. Would you all agree with that? And that's the same kind of a cry we need to have. We get into circumstances, we get into situations, and sometimes we create our own. But we need to constantly be striving and seeking God for a change in our lives. Amen? And if that's our focus, that will consume our time. Not only that, that will cause love to grow. It will cause compassion to rise up in us and cause love to flow, the love of God to flow. Because it will remind us who we are, our what we might term imperfection, and His perfection. Amen? Psalm 51:10. Again, David's crying out. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, King James says, right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Our whole life, as I said before we started this morning, or when we started this morning, should be an attitude of wanting to please the Lord. And it should be a constant thing on a daily basis that we cry out to God and say, God, create in me clean hands and a right heart. Renew a clean spirit from both Psalm 139 and Psalm 50. As we ask the Lord to search us, we need to be mindful to search ourselves. Listen to the Word. He's not a condemner. We know that by John 3:17-19, verse 20, that He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. The unfortunate thing is, because we have our own likes and dislikes, because we have, in many cases, our feelings on our sleeves, we tend to go places, get involved with things mentally and sometimes verbally that we shouldn't go. How many know what I'm talking about? We know from Proverbs 14, verse 12, that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now we know that can lead to physical death, but what it's really talking about is separation from God, or the possibility of displeasing God. If we go in places where we think we might be right, or we don't consider whether we're right or wrong, we just go there. Whether it's through verbiage, in any circumstance, in any situation, maybe it's verbiage against the person. We need to be always mindful that he said what was done in secret would be shouted from the housetops. And what was done in darkness, the light would shine on and expose that darkness. Salvation's new every day, amen? Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Salvation's new every day. His promise again is that surely goodness and mercy would follow us all the days of our lives. We need to be ever mindful of that. We need to keep our eyes and our focus in that place where we understand that mercy and goodness are what He wants to follow us, what He's given to us. But we have the ability to walk away from that mercy and goodness by our actions, by our thoughts, and by the things that happen in our heart. Remember, God sees the heart. We look at the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. So we need to ask God that we'd be blind to what we see and the things we experience from Christians, from non-Christians, but especially from Christians, because they're the family of God, they're the body of Christ. It's so easy in this day and age to be offended by things, offended by people, offended by things we don't understand or that we may not like. And yet God says that's a mark of immaturity. Haggai 1:5 and verse 7 say, consider your ways. Goes right along with Psalm 139:23 and 24. To search me. Let God search you, but you search your heart. Let Him speak to you and tell you where you've missed the mark. That's the mark of one whose heart is right with the Lord. The thing is, if we're so focused on things that other people do or say, or their actions, we lose sight of the areas where we have shortcomings. I remember years ago, I think I've shared this, most of you probably have heard this, where I was, because of my career path, I got hooked up with some guys that were in the law enforcement community. And this was back in the 70s. And the things that they said about some of the people, if you will, the perpetrators or subjects or whatever you want to call them, God called me on it. The Holy Spirit checked me on it and reminded me what I had been forgiven of and that I had no right to say the things that I was saying because of the great mercy that God had shown me. You know, it's easy in that community, in that kind of a job, to lose sight of because of what you see and you deal with every day on a daily basis. But God is greater than those circumstances. God is greater than those things. And you have the ability through your actions and through a right heart to touch those people that are lost and dying, and even those people who may be hurting or maybe even made a mistake. Maybe it's only an estimation in your mind that they made a mistake, but the point is, you need to see where you're at and focus on that, not on where everybody else is. God didn't put us here as correctors, except for ourselves. Can we all agree with that? Amen. Jesus never judged anyone. John 3:17. I'm just going to read it real quick. John 3:17-19. I think we all know that. We need to be reminded of what God said in verse 16. For God so loved the world. Thank God He loved the world because that included you and I. Brought redemption to us when we believed in Jesus, the Son of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come in the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's cliche almost to say that we need to be ever mindful of the fact that we are a body. And we cannot pick and choose the other parts of the body. We're supposed to be there in support of one another, support of them, just like God created our human body with certain faculties that come to the aid when we're sick. You know, she's fine. She shouldn't miss out on this. We're not offended by that little baby.
It's good to hear the voice of the child.
Amen. I agree. We love children here. I especially love kids. Hallelujah. So we need to always remember that we're all in this together and that we can't move one without the other. If we try to reject a part of the body, we're actually causing a maiming of ourselves. We're causing the body to be lame. Search me, O God. He brought life, abundant life, and love and freedom from judgment. He never gossiped or spoke out about or to anyone in a demeaning way. We need to understand that when we judge another person, especially in the faith, we're bringing judgment on ourselves. Bringing judgment on ourselves. Scripture says, when you see a brother taken in fault or what you consider a fault, your responsibility is to pray for him. The attitude should always be, where am I at? What am I doing? And where do I need to change? And realize, therefore, but for the grace of God, you and I go. Amen? Hallelujah. Again, my job as a pastor is not to correct people, but to let God's light shine, be the salt and light, and let God expose by the Holy Spirit and bring change to people by His means, not my means. And that's all of us as Christians. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Very specific. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use to make that judgment, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, and a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. This is in red letters. I didn't say this. God said this. It's in the book. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. I have a lifetime job. You have a lifetime job. And that's examining your heart, examining your walk with the Lord, listening to the Holy Spirit, and letting the Word of God and the Spirit of God guide you and bring you into maturity and the fullness of His plan for your life. And the fullness of His plan for your life is not for you. It's not for your means and your end. It's for the kingdom of God. Amen? The kingdom of God. When you and I examine ourselves and consider our ways, we don't have any time left to judge or examine another. Jesus did not come to examine others, but to bring them into the kingdom of God. We need to be clear. When we see a brother who we feel is in trouble or perceived trouble, sometimes it's only perceived. Really, sometimes what we're feeling is the trouble that's within us, not what's wrong with somebody else. Somewhere where we've missed it, and it eats at us. I know when I'm not where I, if I feel I've displeased God, I'm not comfortable. I have no peace. I need to go back and find out what's going on and make sure that I do what God wants me to do. And He says, if you see that happen, restore that one. Galatians 6, 1 through 5. I'm going slow and I'm giving you the scriptures and I'm reading them for a reason. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man is overwhelmed in any trespass, you who are spiritual, you could almost replace that word with mature, restore such an one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. I'm reminded of the old song that says, take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Do you know that when you pray for somebody, when you see something that may not set well with you, When you pray for that person, it is impossible for you to disdain, backbite, gossip against them. Because you start to become intimate. The love of God begins to come and begins to flow through you in that situation. And it'll cause peace to come over you. And it'll move God's hand. It'll cause the angels of God to bring about the Father's will and healing in that situation. One thing I've learned walking with the Lord is a lot of times if something's bothering me, it's because I have dis-ease in myself. It's not the other person, it's me. Like the old song says, it's not my brother or my sister or my mother or my brother, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen? And I'm reminded, I can't save anybody, we can't save anybody, especially in the body of Christ, I don't need you. Now you understand there's a balance here. We're talking about God's children, not God's creation at this point. Those who are sons and daughters of God, the family of God, born again, in His presence. Amen? We're supposed to love the world as He did, and we're supposed to be ready to give an answer of the hope that's within us to anyone who asks, and ready to minister as God opens doors. But the point is, we have a special obligation to the body of Christ. And in some cases, more so to certain ones than others. But to all of us, we all need it. We all have that obligation and all have that responsibility. What I'm referring to is there are certain cases, like for instance in James 1:27, where it talks about pure religion that's undefiled is that you visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and love not your life even unto death. See, you can't criticize somebody else and stand up and be in the place where you're able to lay your life down for them. I would ask all of us this morning to consider, is there anybody that you would not lay your life down for? Anybody that you know in the body of Christ that you would not lay your life down for? Remember what Jesus said when the disciples came and said, your mother and your brother are outside waiting for you. And Jesus, not disdaining them or being rude, but making the point that the ones who are His brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers are those who do the will of God. See, we all know by the Scripture that the earth will pass away and all the things that are in it, but His Word, His plan will never pass away. And when you become born again, you become a child of God. You receive eternal salvation. It's sealed unless you walk away from it. It can't be taken from you. It can't be stolen from you. Circumstances can't take it from you. You can't be taken out of God's hand. Amen? Praise the Lord. You can't be taken out of God's hand. And remember His gifts and calling without repentance. Sometimes we have to reject a thing that's an idol to us. Usually for only for a season. I'm reminded of several illustrations I could give. Probably the most familiar one that I have is the one where Kenneth Copeland was a pilot, loved airplanes. But he became so enthralled with that, like the rich young ruler, with his riches, that God required him to give it up for a while. You know? But it was only for a season. And then one day when he was assisting and on the helping Oral Roberts, God said, I want you to fly him here. I want you to fly him there. I want you to... See, the rich young ruler, remember, he went away sad because Jesus told him, sell all you have and give it to the poor. And we know it's not because that he was... the reason is because he was not possessing the money or the wealth, but the wealth was possessing him. We have to be good stewards with the gifts and calling of God. No matter what it is, no matter what position it is, if it's intercessor, if it's pastor, if it's teacher, evangelist, board member, no matter what it is, we have to be good stewards with that. And it can't be based on our wants and desires. It has to be the thing that benefits the kingdom of God. And the only way you're going to know that is if God shows you, tells you. Prayer is a love act. How many know that? It's a love act. And faith works by love. John 20, 22 and 23. We need to understand too that when we hold judgments against people, when we hold judgments against people, we are placing ourselves in a place where we are holding ourselves in judgment also. Let me share it to you. Let me share it with you through this scripture. John 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, am I in the right place? He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now that's twofold. Yes, it is. If you hold people accountable for what you consider sin, either against you, you don't have a right to hold them accountable for anything, really, but if you hold them accountable for what you consider as a sin against you, you need to remember that those sins are retained. You're retaining those sins against that person, but you're also retaining your own sin. You're putting yourself in a chain and a bondage. But if you pray for them and you loose that, you loose yourself and you loose that person. And that's why it's always important in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter what it is, no matter who it is, that you examine first of all your own life. And then if you really feel that there's something going on that needs prayer, pray for them. Don't condemn them. See, when you judge, you condemn. What right do you have to do that if Jesus, if God said that He didn't send His own Son to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved? You hold people's freedom in your hands sometimes. Maybe not completely physically, but you can hold something in the spirit that come back and bite you. I don't want that for anybody here. And I don't want to be the person who does that. Amen? We need to read over and over again and meditate what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, where it gives a glaring example of what love really is and what love is not. We read about the speck that's in your eye. You can't see clearly to see what's going on in somebody else's life when you've got that tree in your eye. How many know even if it's just a small speck, you can't see to remove the little whatever's in somebody else's eye? Because you're too busy blinking and winking and weeping and... You know what I'm saying? We judge ourselves. We won't have to have anybody else judge us. James 4:10. We're just about to close here. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. You want to go places in the kingdom of God? You want to be lifted up? You want to do great exploits for God? Then you need to humble yourself. You need to be humble and of a contrite spirit. You need to do what Jesus commanded the rich young ruler to do. Humble yourself. Take up your cross and follow after Him. And it's impossible to do that if you have your own agendas or you use a position or a calling for your benefit and not for the benefit of the kingdom. I don't care whether you're a pastor or who you are. Judgment starts in the house of God. It starts right here in this pulpit. God's judgment. The judgment I'm talking about is not that that condemns us, but that that keeps us on the right track. It shows us our shortcomings, shows us our failures and faults, so we can work on those. And you know what? When we do that, compassion, understanding, long-suffering rises up within us, and we're able to touch the kingdom of God minister to lives because of that. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Somebody got stimulated here. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. That was 10. Does a spring send... verse 11 of James chapter 3. Verse 11 says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. You need to remember who you represent, whose you are, and that people are watching and listening. I personally would be beside myself if I thought that I had, in any willful way, or through misconduct, or pride or arrogance, caused anybody to stumble. Because that's not what I want. But once again, when the Scripture says, consider your ways, He's not just talking about me. He's talking about the entire body of Christ. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Just about to close this out. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And finally, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that will you also reap. For he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows in the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen? This is about the time when Jean would come up, but bless her heart, she's not in town, so... Folks, we need one another. And we need to be the ones who stand with one another, no matter what it is. Scripture doesn't say stand judging, it says admonishing one another, speaking to one another, singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Once again, I don't care whether you stand in the pulpit or you sit in the seat or you have some job in the church. You're all part of the body of Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ. We have an obligation. First of all, to the Father. Now, our Heavenly Father is not like our earthly fathers in some cases, or at least not like mine. He chastens me. He corrects me. But He doesn't cold cock me in the process. Although His Word is the best cold cock I've ever had in my life. That wound's deeper than anything any physical act could ever do. Amen? The fact that I know that I've displeased Him. There is no place in the kingdom of God for selfish ambition. And that means, again, starting right here. I don't care if you're Stan Setliff, Bill Backus, Bob Mosier. I don't care who you are. There's no place for selfish motivation. For an agenda other than God's agenda. For a mind or a heart other than God's mind or heart. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He calls us to have our minds renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. And through that, even if we are in a place where we have been, or we've made a mistake, maybe we're still in that mistake, there's grace and mercy and forgiveness. Because He says, as soon as you repent, He has no record of it. The song says, what sins? What sins are you talking about? They were gone the very minute that you prayed. The very second. Removed as far as the east is from the west. Buried in the deepest ocean, the deepest sea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they're remembered no more. And even if you feel you have a legitimate reason for having something against somebody, don't keep that. Don't keep that in your heart. Because what you do is you stifle yourself, you place yourself in trouble, and you put a stop on the blessings of God. He decides that. I don't decide that. You don't decide that. But your responsibility is to guard your heart and cry out, as we read in the beginning, create in me clean hands and a pure heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Search me, O God. Know my ways. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wickedness in me. Wickedness doesn't mean blatant out and out sin. It just means you've missed the mark. You've stepped off the track or off the road in the right direction. You're taking a bunny trail that's usually not going to lead to good things. Amen? That's why David was a man after God's heart, because he was quick to repent. Even when he got completely off with Bathsheba, and the prophet came to him and told him the story, and he said, "Where is this man? I'll have this man put to death." Imagine what the punch in the gut he felt then, and how the wind was knocked out of him when the prophet looked at him and said, "David, you are that man." You know what? There's not a person in this room that's perfect as the world counts perfect. We all make mistakes. Even you, Harry. Bless your heart. Perfection through the eyes of God, and real perfection, is a person whose heart and life is dedicated, consecrated, and committed to the ways of God. And who, when they make a mistake, they're willing to say, "I made a mistake," and go to the Father and say, "Father, I'm sorry." And then remember what forgiveness really means. Forgiveness doesn't mean you go up and forgive somebody. It means you release them. What do you release them? Release them to the hand of God, so God can bring about good for them and for you. And if you can't release it, then you better get in God's face and ask for help, because you're starting down a slippery slope. And trouble's on the horizon. Amen? Even your prayers are hindered when you don't release things to God. You release it to God because then He can do what He needs to do in your life, and He can also do what He needs to do in the other person's life. And if there's restitution involved in that, then that means He can bring that restitution. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm determined not to know anything among any of you. This is my prophecy, my commitment, and my desire, and my will. I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I struggled with this. I didn't want to bring this morning, but God wouldn't let me off the hook. God loves you, and He loves me. Amen. I'm going to give you a chance in just a second. Amen? And we need to love one another, just the way Christ loved the church. Amen? You know, it's so important that we understand, you know, our actions can hinder the growth of the body and growth in our fellowship. And in part of searching my heart, part of searching your heart, should be that if there's anything that you need to make right with God, I'm just a man. But what matters to me is what God thinks. He's the one that I value the opinion of. And I value the opinion of believers too. But the thing is, one of the things that I understand is that if I'm harboring wrong thoughts, wrong motives, if I'm harboring something, or I've turned something that was a godly talent or a godly gift into something that it shouldn't be, then I may be the very one who's hindering the growth that God wants to cause, both in the kingdom, and part of that kingdom is right here in this fellowship. I don't want that for you, and I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be free. I want to be right with God in every way. And that should be the motivation of every person here. I wouldn't want to stand before Him and say, "Hey, you remember this situation? I couldn't do what I wanted to do in you, through you, and because of you." I don't want to hear that. I want to hear those words that we all long to hear. "Well done, good and faithful servant, in whom I am well pleased." It's all about wanting to please Him. Amen? Wherever you're at spiritually, wherever you're at, whatever callings you have, whatever gifts you have, they're determined by God's will and purpose, not yours and mine. I'm as guilty as anybody when somebody does something wrong, like some of the things we've heard recently about some of the pastors in our communities and our, you know, around this country. That's a reflection on God. I understand when somebody wants to take a stand and do what's right for the Lord. But the question is God behind it or is selfish ambition and motivation behind it? You bring damage to the kingdom. You bring a blemish against God. You're His ambassador. You are the only Jesus that people will see in many cases. And that's why it's imperative that our hearts and our lives be right before God. Amen. Hallelujah. The altar's open. If you want prayer for anything, we're willing to pray. Board members, we'll pray for you. But if there's something you need to get right with God, you don't have to tell the whole world. Just make it right. And then what He tells you to do by the Spirit, do it. Don't let it go. Please don't let it go. It would break my heart to see anybody here thwarted or damaged by something that was meant for their destruction. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. It's the Word, the fellowship with believers, with the family. He wants to destroy the family of God. Why? Because He doesn't like us? No, because He doesn't like the Word. He wants to prove God wrong. He's still out there trying to be God. But since we know what the end of the book says, we know that it's futility. It's an exercise in futility. Amen? He's defeated. We have dominion. Amen? We've been restored to right relationship with God the Father. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our strength, our Redeemer, our brother, our High Priest. Amen? Hallelujah. That's right. If you're in China or someplace like that, you know, there's people who are suffering right now because for the gospel's sake. Amen? We need to be lifting them up. Praise the Lord. All hearts clear? Then, Father, we thank You for this Word. We thank You that it comes from You, Lord. Not opinion, it's fact. The only facts that are real are the facts that come from You, Lord. They are truth. Unchangeable, unrelenting, and undiminishable truth, Lord. So we surrender to that truth, and we thank You that Your Word has been sealed in our hearts. And now we thank You, Lord, that right now we're all examining where we're at, things in our lives that we need to repent for and get set free from. And we thank You, Lord, that because You make us free, we are free indeed. We give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Now bless our fellowship. Sanctify the food, Lord. We give You thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Sanctify the fellowship also. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.